fears, our hopes, our aims are one. Our comforts and our cares. This is page 220. Oh, we share our mutual woes. Oh, our mutual burdens share. And all for each other's flows, the sympathizing cheer. And when we asunder part, it gives us inward pain, but we shall still be joined in heart and hope to meet again. Let's sing that first verse once more. Oh, blessed be the ties that bind our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred's mind is like to that above. He is Lord. Oh, He is Lord. For He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's just lift our hands and make Him our Lord this morning. Oh, He is Lord. Yes, He is Lord. For He has risen from the dead, and He's my Lord. Oh, every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. What a security we have to know He's our Lord, and He binds us to that cross of Calvary, and no matter how far we try to stray, He brings us right back to letting us know He is our Lord. Amen. Let's all stand as we sing that once more and invite Brother Terrence to come with the opening prayer and the prayer request. Oh, He is Lord. Yes, He is Lord. For He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Good morning. Let's see one with us this morning. Remember the ones traveling, remember Wade and family's over in at Brother Dutch Scott's. He's preaching this morning, so remember him. All the other ones. Got a good many requests here. Brother Donnie called this morning. He's not feeling well. Just remember Brother Donnie. He's having some problems, some physical problems. So be with him. Also, Brother Dick's down in his back. He's not doing too well with his back. So remember, Brother Dick, they won't be here today also. So remember that. It's also a lady that I think she worked with Anna. She's her name's Cindy Siggers. They've given her about 2 weeks to live. And I think, there's some situations there that the Lord needs to interrupt. We're praying for her healing, but also there's some situations that are trying to get her. She's almost got 30 years built, I think, with the school system, and they're trying to keep her pretty much, I hate to say this, but they're trying to keep her alive long enough where she can retire, where her kids can draw. But Lord knows the situation, so I don't have to explain it or anything. Just pray for her. It is a dire situation, so we're praying for her healing where she can live and teach another 30 years. So just remember that. Sister Esther gave me one that says, continue to remember Shirley Canada. We all know Shirley Canada. She's declining in health, so remember that. Also, she gave me one that says, remember Tony Templeton. He's been battling cancer for years from a bruise. He's got fluid on the lungs and a blood clot, and the doctors are pretty much giving him up. So remember that situation. Also, remember Brother Matthew Bray. He'll be going on a mission trip to Mexico this coming week, so we'll remember him as we pray. Just keep him safe as he's traveling. Those situations going out of the country, there's all situations that's going on, so just remember him as he travels. I know. And also, Zach's girlfriend Anna will be traveling this week to New York for her job, so just remember that situation also. Not for a job, but for her job, so remember that. I know we all have unspoken requests. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for letting us come out this morning. Lord, be with the ones that are traveling on the highways or will be traveling. Remember waiting them over at Brother Dutch Scott's. Be with him. Be with his preaching there, Lord. And also, remember Brother Bray will be traveling missionary work, Lord. Just bless him and keep him safe. Remember Anna will be traveling. Bless her and all will be well, Lord. Lord, remember the sick. Remember Brother Dick, Brother Donnie, the ones that Sister Esther had mentioned. And Lord, Miss Sigger there, Lord, also with her situation. Lord, just by your stripes, she's healed, Lord, and just continue blessing her. Bring them all out of what their needs are, Lord, and all the unspoken requests. Lord, do you know what the needs are? Come down and bless them this morning. Be with Dad. Give him strength as he's studying, Lord, that we have the right attitude to listen to what's being said. Most of all, Lord, you forgive us for all of our sins. We love you for your many blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You be seated.
For all things are possible, only believe. Only only believe. I love him. Oh, I love him because he first loved me. My salvation. to him once more and just invite him in.
Oh, I love him. Yes, I love him because he first loved me.
Amen. If you have your Spiral Songbook, let's turn to page 530. Are you glad this morning that you're born again in the Spirit? Amen. Glad day when I was born again.
Glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I
we see the Lord in today. I tell you, you can't be sad and be in the presence of the Lord. The joy of the Lord, He does away with all of our trouble. And no matter what spirit tries to get us down, we're alive. And if you're alive in Christ, you're more alive than you are dead. Because He's a resurrection and life. Amen. We're going to invite Brother Colley to come up for the responsive reading while we sing that once more. Oh, glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again. Glad day when I was born again. Was a glad day when I was born again.
Amen. God bless you. Good morning. We're going to read Psalms 116 and 117. It's only a couple of short verses, so you won't be standing that long. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful that we have one like you, Lord, that we can call upon. Lord, that can bless our souls, heal our bodies. God, we thank you for it. We ask you as we gather together, Lord, that we gather in love and fellowship and understanding. Lord, we're blessing you. Father, we ask you to bless all those in Sunday school classes. Lord, just touch them. Father, open up our hearts and understanding that they may receive, Lord, that which is being taught unto them. Lord, we ask you to bless Brother Dale in a special way this morning, Father. If we have any sicknesses within his body, Lord, anything of a hindrance in any way, Lord God, we ask that you remove it. Lord, and we ask you to touch him specially. Lord, he may bring unto us the understanding of your word. Father, and touch us that we may hear and receive that which he teaches. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications.
Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live.
The sorrows of death compass me, and the pains of hell get hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow.
Then called I upon
Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful.
The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me.
Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee.
When thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling.
I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living.
I believe, and therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted.
I said in my haste, all men are liars.
What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me?
I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints.
Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant, and the sons of my name made me. Thou hast loosed my bonds.
I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of the altar, praise ye the Lord. We're supposed to read 117, so let's just go ahead and read those. Oh, praise the Lord,
all ye nations, praise him, all ye people.
For the merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. God bless you. May be seated.
Amen. He's so worthy to be praised. Amen. He's a worthy lamb. See, one time I went to a church, and it was when I was a young teenager, and the brother I was with, he always tried to get me to get up and do something for the Lord, sing for the Lord, give a testimony, do something for him. I got scared and shy, and they said, "Brother, you know, come up and sing for us." And I looked at a song, but that fear came upon me, and I said, no, I'm not going to sing. Well, they asked another brother. He got up, and out of 600 songs, he sung that exact song I was looking at. The Lord will receive praise. If you don't want to praise him, somebody will praise him. Amen. We have too many blessings that he's given us that we can praise him for. Let's turn to page 151. We'll sing. Amen. Can you identify as one of them this morning? Amen. The redeemed in Christ.
Oh, there are people almost everywhere whose hearts are all aflame. They receive the fire of Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. And I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. One of them. Praise the Lord, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Gathered in the upper room, all praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and power for service came. Now what he did then for that day, he'll do for you, that's the promise. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. And I'm so glad that I I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. And I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Now come, my brother, seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bell ringing, and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning now within my heart. Name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, there are people on the
Finishing up the sixth seal, listening to it with the kids, and I tell you, when that happens, that disrupts all nature. And when nature is disrupted and it's on fire, you want to be in that bosom of Abraham, that faith that we have, that we're with him at the marriage supper. Amen. Let's change the order of the service as we sing Open the Eyes of Our Heart.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, for I want to see you, Lord, I want to see you. So open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see.
See him, don't you? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like to turn in your scripture, turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Remember all the announcements that Terrence has made. Remember, Wade is over preaching for Brother Dutch Scott today. Remember that. Remember, Brother Aaron will be ministering for us, the Lord willing. I don't see him. He must have. Be down, but I don't know Sarah here, but anyhow, He'll be ministering for us Wednesday, so remember that. Remember, the Bible study will be this coming Saturday at 6. Remember that. Remember, the fellowship meeting will be at Brother Pageant's on the third Saturday in May at 3:30. So remember that. All right. Brother Dick Addison is having a lot of troubles with his back, and he's been through some tests on his bones. They haven't let him know anything yet, but, just pray to the Lord would bless him. He's having a lot of back problems. Brother Donnie Fawbush is sick, and remember him. He's been having problems with diarrhea and things for quite a while. It just goes away and then comes back. So, just pray for him. But we thank God for that. We thank God for Sister Charlotte being with us this morning. Amen. She had a little spell there, and everything went wrong for a little while, but we pray it's all doing okay now. So that's, the main thing, and everything is okay. All right, just keep her in your prayers. Anyone else that we're forgetting? We always forget something. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and your grace, Lord. Thank you for your love and understanding to each and every one of us. And we pray that you would just bless and have your way, be with Wade and him there as he's ministering today and then traveling back, and all, just give him a safe journey. Let everything be all right. We thank you for being with Sister Charlotte, Lord, and bringing her through this situation. Now, just make all things well for your glory and honor. Be with Brother Addison there, Lord, as his back bothering him, and touch him, and be with Brother Donnie, and just let your grace and love be with each one. We know there's many sicknesses among us, and you promised it. You said you sent your word and healed us and delivered us from destruction. So we praise your great name for all things. We love you, and we just commit everything to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 2. We'll begin reading about verse 5 through 9. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened. Now, this is coming down from the children of disobedience and the children of obedience and all. It says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. All right, now, by grace you are saved. Okay, but now watch him as he continues his thought. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now he's added something to his thought, right? First he says you're saved by grace through faith. By grace. Then now he says through faith. All right. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now we're going to take a little thought, maybe deal with it for a few services. I don't know exactly how many. They can go ahead and title it. Just put the title to it. I gave them my regular title, but just put the title to it. We'll just call it Salvation. We're going to talk about salvation, all right, because that can cover a lot of good things and all. So we're going to be dealing, but what we're going to be talking about today is you're saved by grace through faith. All right, saved by grace through faith. Well, I'm just saved by faith. Well, that's good. And if your point's right, you got something. But I like the way the scripture, like I said, he says there that you're saved by faith, by grace you're saved. All right. Then he says through faith. Now grace is the unmerited favor of God given to mankind. So we know for surety, what it's speaking of. Okay. See, salvation, grace, and all. It's on the basis of God's unmerited favor. It's not something that you and I could in any way merit. If it would, it wouldn't be called grace. All right? So now you say, well, you can get to your point of where your mind and you be dealing with yourself. Well, it's just by faith. But I like the way Paul declares it, see. It's by faith, yes. By revelation, that's what we'll get to talk about. Okay. But he says it's by grace. Are you saved through faith? All right. Now, salvation is of the Lord. It's not your point, my point, our goodness or anything. We can't do anything to merit salvation. There's nothing we can do. You go, well, Brother Dale, I've been good all my life. I have never done this. That's good. That's commendable. You make a good neighbor. Alcoholics Anonymous would like to have you on their side. But that's just about the best you can do out of it. Because you can't say, well, I'm saved because I didn't do this or I didn't do that. Now that would put it on some kind of works. All right. See, that wouldn't be what it would be. It's by grace are you saved through faith. All right. Through is a journey in your faith that will bring that to us. See, a travel, a journey, because I've always taught you, I believe it. We talk about salvation, but to me, you know, there's a lot to be done with salvation, a lot to be said about it. And I'm a firm believer in, ever since I heard the prophet's message and begin to understand a little bit of what he was talking about, then I'm a firm believer that salvation is just not a fact you walking up shaking somebody's hand. It's not just something you could do. Neither is it something you could quote, memorize, or do anything like that, right? It's not on that basis. It's a journey that you're taking. All right? We talk about, see, after we come into message, begin to understand, because we come through Baptists, and I doubt if a lot of you Pentecostals even thought much about justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, until you heard of the prophet or heard him express it. You were more or less into, I'm saved, we got this, we got that, we're in the gifts, we got it. I know I'm saved because I do this, I don't do that. It's always been based, salvation is, mankind bases that upon what you can do or don't do, or because something you didn't do or you did do. The thing has always been to where that is try to put something that we could have something to do with it. All right. But the Bible said it's a gift of God. All right. Now, if it's a gift, then you don't do anything to merit that gift. If you do, it's not a gift. I mean, you come to my house and you work for me and I give you, I pay you. That's pay. All right? 'Cause you work for it. You done something. But for me to just walk up to you and say, here, I want to give you this. Now you're dealing with no things whatsoever. And that's what I want the thought in our mind this morning, to lay the foundation to where we can just keep thinking on these things, that there's nothing we can do. Nothing whatsoever. You say, well, there's only one thing you can do, and that's believe. Amen. The only thing you can do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. All right. But now the prophet said like this, well, you accepted him, but has he accepted you? Right. Well, you know, we come through Baptists, and we know when Brother Brandon was explaining that, about, you know, the Baptist man said to him, said, well, all Abraham could do was believe. I mean, what else is there to it other than believing? That's good. But now what has God done? Right. We'll get back to Abraham maybe in his doing. Abraham went through the journey of things that would type justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went through that. So he had a journey. Christianity is a journey. Salvation, faith, new birth, whatever you want to call it. It's a journey. It's not something you just walk up and there it is. You know. No, it's a journey that you take. Okay. Every born again believer has to take that same journey. No. I didn't do like that. You didn't do. See, now you're putting it on something you're thinking about. Salvation is based purely upon the grace of God. Faith is the journey through that he supplies or does, but it's a journey. That's why it says you're saved by grace. All right. Through faith. See? Your journey that you take has to do with your faith or revelation or dealing in your life. But remember first off, and keep it to that you're saved by grace. Grace is total unmerited favor. All right? See, I can stand up here and say, well, I didn't drink. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I'm just as much a sinner as anybody else. And say, well, I didn't do this, Brother Dale. I didn't do that. Don't have anything to do with it. You're just as lost as anybody else is lost. Yeah, but I didn't go out and do like other people. I wasn't mean. You know the problem there? You'll think that you didn't do or did do, and that made you where God would save you. Okay, we're just talking. You say, well, no. I believe I'm saved because I didn't never drink. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. Well, now you're putting it on something you done. So it's not of God. See? If there's anything that you and I could do, then God died in vain. That's what your prophet said. All right. Now see, if he died in vain, then don't worry about it. We just leave it at that. See? And believe that he did do it. You say, yeah, but I didn't drink, I didn't smoke, I didn't chew, I didn't do it. Well, wonderful. Does that mean you're already saved? Oh no, we get into all kind of things with it. I'm just talking simple language to where the children can understand, where we can all understand salvation. You don't want me to be good, Brother Dale? No. I want you to get born again. That'll take care of that we're a part of being good or not being good. Now, being good is commendable. Children, you ought to be good. You ought to honor your parents. You ought to honor this, that thing. You ought to be all of that. Right, wonderful. We agree with all of that. And you're expected to do that. See? But that won't save you. So you got to have your own experience of salvation. It's not what mom and daddy believes. It's not what they've done or didn't do or whatever. You got to have that experience yourself. All right. And see, then when you're putting it on the basis of that, you're dealing then with why that it says it. You're saved by grace. Now, we're going to drive this hard so you listen to it. You're saved by grace. You're not just saved by faith. Now, when we read the prophet said you're saved by faith, don't misunderstand what I just said. You say, but I've got this revelation of the message, so that means I'm saved. Now, you're trying to do it in some other reason. You're trying to put something up there that you don't need there. Approach it the way I'm talking about it, because that's what I believe. Grace is unmerited favor. All right. Now, nothing I could do or didn't do. None of that would bring it to the basis of saving me. The biggest problem is, now I'm just serious about this matter, is to those that didn't do or this, that, or the other, and you have any thoughts whatsoever about that being any form of your salvation, just remember that's what's getting in your way. Remember, those that have sinned the most are the most apt to ask for salvation. I'm not justifying sin. I'm not saying you need to go out and live like the devil. No, don't worry about it. You are. Okay? It doesn't matter if you try to be as good as you can and never do nothing wrong the rest all of your life. That's still trying to work for the devil. That's trying to work out something. All right. But Brother Dale, you'll go one way or you go the other way. You'll put it to the basis of trying to have something you done or didn't do. All right. Then you put it over to something you're doing or believing or whatever, and it won't work. Well, I believe this message, so I know I'm saved. Well, then what did God have to do with it? Are you following me? See, you're saved by grace. Unmerited favor. Totally nothing you can do to receive it other than accept it. But you must accept it. You've got to accept what Jesus Christ done for you and I. All right? Now, Brother Branham, I run one quote in here where he said, in these mortal bodies we live in. You know, in other words, his emphasis was, we're in these mortal bodies. Well, don't worry about it. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity, spouse from our mother's womb, and going forth a liar. Every one of us. Well, I'll tell you what, I just don't believe like what he's saying. Well, then, all right, tell me how you believe it. See? But get the point now that I'm trying to drive the thought in. You're saved by faith by grace through faith. Amen. Nothing you can do whatsoever. Then you start a journey. Now, Brother Branham will explain that as long as you're believing God, you're doing great. That's right. That's where your salvation will deal upon your confession. But if you stop believing God, what happens? Do you lose your salvation? No. You just lost your confession because you didn't have the salvation, because if you had the salvation, you'd continue to own. That's the point, right? By grace, through faith. Okay? Now look, stature of a perfect man. You start a journey and you keep going up through. We teach that and we believe that. But just remember, your journey doesn't start just at faith. On the basis of the stature of a perfect man, we look at it where it's the new birth at faith. We have a journey before we get to the new birth that we have to go through. Well, I just believe it. I just accepted it. Well, now, if your prophet is correct, that we'll get later on to these, but the future home, he said, I taught three processes from the beginning. He said, from a boy. And said it hadn't changed one thing. Well, I've got where he said this, when he said this over here, he said, now, are you going to talk to him? Well, don't talk to me. Go talk to him. Well, that's impossible. That's what I'm telling you. See, your thoughts are displaying what we are that makes us unbelievers. He said, I taught three processes. What? Justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, see, do we still teach it that way? Or do we just teach it as a believe the message? We'll believe what we believe the prophet. Well, may I quote Paul? Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Is that Paul? Did Paul make that statement? Have you received the new birth? Have you received salvation since you believe? No, I got everything when I believed. Now that's Baptist doctrine. All right? So that puts you right where the Baptist is at. You got it all when you believed it. Well, I don't agree with that. I didn't agree with it when I was in the Baptist. All right? See, I could read the scriptures like being born again and all of that back there. It was a lot that we could read and think about. But the point, listen, a journey. When you started a journey in life as a baby, right? And you've been in that journey ever since, no matter if you're 10, 20, 50, 100, or whatever you are. You've been in a journey. Well, see, why can't we think about that as a Christian journey? That we've been in a journey. And if you will think about it, you can remember a lot about how that God contacted you or led you when you never even thought about it. That you were going through a journey and never had any thoughts of what it was. The people of the message has long forgot the fact that there's three. It takes the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost to make the new birth. Well, you just believe. You accept the message. That's the evidence. No. The prophet said the evidence is where the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. You know, there's a lot of people out there right now. You go on the internet and run it up. There's a lot of them been preaching 40, 50 years. Well, they taught it right to start with, but where are they now? But get what I'm talking about. See, everybody is saved by grace. There is no special thing for different points or view or, well, Brother Dale, I had this seed in me. Where was it put? When was it put? Right? We just ended the series, and the last thoughts that we were talking about of the future home was what? That I don't want to predestinate myself totally out of existence. Because if God ever would go back to self-existing, then I would be out of existence. Did you listen to that? Yes, but I was predestinated before the world. I agree. Your prophet, he said that's where the seed was put there. That's what he said. You need to quote. He said, when was that seed put there? He said, before the foundation of the world. When you were in his mind. Well, I come with this seed in me. A seed is, we're in the spring of planting time here, this part of the country. And you know, you've got to have a seed to be able to put it in the ground. Right. You got to plant the seed. That's sensible. But just because you talk about having a seed, oh, but I am a seed. I know we can quote the prophet. We can go with it. And I believe what he says about it. All right. But he said that seed was put in you before the foundation of the world. Now, where was it put? I've only asked this of the two soul people because that's where all of those things originated back there in the 70s. And I asked one simple question. You say I had a seed in me. Was it in your body? Was it in your spirit? Was it in your soul? And this brother, he said, I'm not going to answer that. Well, because if he'd have answered one thing, you know me, if he'd have said body, I said, well, then you got to agree your body was before the world. If you say spirit, you got to agree your spirit was before the world. If you say so, then you got to agree your soul was before the world, because the prophet said it was put in there before the world ever begun. But see, we've lost the point of salvation, I think, and gone into the great understanding of what we call revelation. And then we say, we're saved by revelation, Brother Dale. You've got it laying right there in front of you. You're going to read it to us. Amen. That's what your prophet said. But does that annihilate when you say you're saved by revelation? Does that change the fact that you're saved by grace? Through a revelation. A journey. Have you forgotten your Christian journey? You remember when you started your Christian journey? You remember when you repented of your sins and you asked God to forgive you? And you remember then as the word began to unfold that you could see that you stopped doing things that you used to do and getting cleaned up and set aside. Right? But see, that ain't the finish of the journey. You still got to have the new birth. Right? All right. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. What is the revelation personally to you? I'm just trying my best to tell you what it is. My revelation of my new birth is exactly what I just read. That I'm saved. What? By grace, through faith. If my experience ever comes to an end, I'll know it was not genuine. Right? That's sensible, isn't it? I mean, if it's any way that it ever comes to an end, then you didn't have what you're talking about. All right. See, then it's a journey that we take. A baby, as I said a moment ago, when it's born, it starts a journey. But the journey's not over because the baby's born. Right? That just starts the journey. All right? So then your salvation starts the minute you believe. Amen. We believe that. It starts. But that's not the end of the journey. That's the starting of the journey. See, then you say, well, Brother Dale, all I've got is based on this message. Well, that's all right. That's fine with me. I have no problem. I'm just asking you a simple question. What has that done to you? Have you been in a Christian journey all of your life? Or have you just, well, I just accept it by faith. I got it all. Now, where does all that work out to be? Wrong. Just making a little simple point this morning of simplicity to think about. The Bible says that you can't come to God until God calls you. That's scripture, no? You can't come to God till God calls you. Well, I accepted him. I accepted, but has he accepted you? Well, all I could do is accept. That's right. But has he accepted you? Now, if he ain't accepted you, then there's something wrong with your accepting. It's not wrong with him, right? But I've heard people say, you know, that there's one thing about it. Boy, they'll quote it to them. God knows that I accepted him as my Savior, and it's up to him to save me. That's a good point. But what if we're following it wrong? we were discussing a little bit out there last night, I mean Wednesday night, about your water baptism. All right. See, the scripture says for you to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Now, what remits your sins? The baptism? Come on. What remits your sins? Is it your baptism? Yet I just read, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. There's a lot of people that were baptizing correctly as far as terminologies and use of words when Brother Branham came along. All right. Brother Branham never started the doctrine of water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was already being used. And then the question, like I was asking the brothers, a simple question. If somebody come in this church, and I had a couple that did, and said, Brother Dale, we were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible. Have you ever read it? Does the Bible say to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is no scripture that says to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can find it, I'd love to have it, but it's not there. It's to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. All right. But watch how close it is. Is water baptism essential unto salvation? According to that scripture, it is. Repent, everyone, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The promise is to you. Now listen. There is no promise in the Bible of receiving the Holy Ghost because you were baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I'd like to read that. It's not there. You have no promise under Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's Trinitarian doctrine. That was a change of the word. The promise is to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. See, sins are not remitted through Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, are you saying that the baptism is essential? Baptism is essential if you know the truth, because that's what your scripture says. Scripture said it's an answer of a good conscience. Right? Whereunto water doth baptize and all, but said it's unto a good conscience. Yeah, but there's a lot of people that's received the new birth that never got baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I agree. But once truth is presented, come on. Once truth is presented and you don't follow truth, what happens? There's one thing for sure. If you have the new birth, the genuine born-again experience, you will come to the knowledge of the truth. And if you don't come to the knowledge of the truth, your answering of a good conscience is running you in the face. You're standing looking at that because of the answer of a good conscience. If you won't do what the word says, that's what I'm talking about, simple little point of salvation and a few things this morning. If you won't do what the word says, does God have to accept you? Well, I accepted him, but has he accepted you? Well, I accepted him. What else can I do? Abraham accepted. Yeah, that's right. But God gave Abraham a sign of circumcision to show he had accepted his faith, right? And beside that, Abraham went through the journey of life to go through the topping of justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went through the example of that. I said example of it now. Listen. See, God accepted Abraham's believing. If we refuse to do what the Word says, God does not have to accept our believing. Or let me put it this way, God will not accept our believing. See? We're proving there's something wrong with our journey. Remember, we can holler grace, 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 that's right. But what about the journey? You're saved by grace through faith. Brother Brandon says you're saved as, now listen, I'm quoting this one. He said you're saved as long as you're confessing you're saved. You remember that? But he said when you stop confessing, well, you mean you can truly be a born-again, Holy Ghost-sealed person and then lose salvation? No. You can't. But if you're just confessing unto, you're just confessing unto your salvation, you can lose that at any time. All you got to do is lose your confession. That's what I'm saying. You can holler grace. That's good. But what about the journey you followed? A lot of the people of the message are turning away from it now. What? Their journey has come to a position of where that it's required some action or reaction by them, and they've turned away from the Word, right? Is that God's fault? But you know, He's so great until all those years. That's what I think about God. You know, you could serve God for 50 years and die and go to hell. And you know, for 50 years, God will deal with you, trying to get you to straighten up. He'll do it. But then you can lose it. Well, you believe in salvation? That you can have salvation and lose it? If you're listening to what I'm expressing, I'm talking about salvation. Salvation has a lot to do with that. There's a lot of people that confess salvation that never get born again. Well, I thought salvation was all I needed. That is, if you know what salvation really is. All you need is a new birth. Well, what do I do then to get the new birth? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's all you got to do. Because that's all you can do. But now God will come on and honor that. In your journey, you'll find out somewhere that you went astray. Somewhere in your journey, that's what it is, true faith. Grace is wonderful, that's great. But what about the journey that follows the grace? Well, it don't matter what I do because I'm born again. And I've had people tell me, you can't tell me. I was there when I accepted Him. That's wonderful. Has the journey changed? I asked a brother-in-law of mine one time, we were discussing water baptism, and we were talking about, was it essential? I said, well, the truth is essential. You know, I mean, that's one thing we got to lay on, the truth is essential. And what I've done is I've brought him out into a situation to where that he had to make a decision himself. Because what I asked him was, I said, how long have you been ministering and baptizing people? He said, oh, that time was 10, 15 years, whatever it was. I said, you baptize all them new converts in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, right? I said, well, now, let me ask you a simple question. See, what I was trying to do was prove to him what his confession was wrong, or his, there's something wrong with it. I said, what about from now on? I said, you've told me, we're sitting here talking, you told me it don't make no difference. You ever heard that one? It don't make no difference. God knows who I'm praying to or being, so if I'm baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it don't make no difference. You're just too technical. I said, okay, simple question. You baptized 10 years, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I said, how about for the next 10 years, baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if it don't make no difference? He said, I can't do that. Because he knew, I was there, I come through that Baptist, I knew that he couldn't go along with it. Because see, if you'd baptize any other way than that, that Baptist holds to that baptism hard, boy. You can go from a Methodist to a Baptist, it don't matter if you've been baptized a Catholic and a Methodist and a Presbyterian, 10 or 15 times, you go to Baptist church, you're going to get baptized again. Because they hold that as your essential. But I said, all right, now do you understand what I'm saying? So from now on, you just turn around and start back. It don't make no difference. See? Brother Tom Falboys asked his former, I believe it was Methodist pastor, and he said, well, you know, it's okay, whatever you do. He said, all right, said, you've been baptized, same thing that I asked. He said, from now on, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do that. I've got to go along with tradition. In other words, I got to stay with my church. Now, you understand what I'm saying? I'm not throwing off on my brother-in-law. Right? That ain't none of what I'm talking about. I'm just telling the truth. See, he proved that God had not accepted his faith. Now, we're going to get to that. Just lay it down a little bit and let you think about it. It's true faith now. Right? Everybody following me? You're saved by grace. All of that's correct. Through faith. All right? So you started Christian journey when you were born as a baby, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that, and you started. Then it goes on. If truth is presented to you, why would you not follow truth? Well, I just don't think it makes no difference. Okay. We got no problem. I ain't going to fuss and argue with you. I'm just going to be there to witness the next baptism. Because I know what you're going to do. And then I'm going to say, it does make a difference, don't it? Of course, I could do like I did with a man at work. I talked to this brother at work and, you know, he saw it now. He said the Lord spoke to him. I ain't arguing with him. He said the Lord spoke to him and told him to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, verbally spoke to it. I'm not joking. I'm telling this is God's honest truth about it. So I said, well, okay, now what are you going to do about it? So he come in one day. He said, I got that took care of. He said, I got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, well, great. He said, I won't call his name, but he called him. He was a preacher friend of mine. He said, he baptized me Saturday. I said, great. He said, he baptized me both ways. I said, because I knew what he'd done, you know. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, he baptized me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized me Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I said, before you say any more. Now, you don't say no more to me. I said, I believe you got baptized both ways. Yeah. I said, now I'm going to tell you how you was baptized. I said, that brother baptized you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he baptized you in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Is that correct? He said, yes. I said, you erased your baptism. I said, if it had been to the basis you didn't understand, and he had told you, and you got baptized Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, then got baptized Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? If you'd went that away, it would have proved you were sincere and didn't know the difference. But knowing the difference, you got baptized Lord Jesus Christ and erased it with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now this is his word. He said, don't you speak to me anymore about these things. No. See, he proved the point. In his journey, God had done the part of the grace. Right? He had supplied the grace. He had supplied salvation in that grace. He had even provided him with an opportunity to hear this message. And he even spoke to him now. He said in an audible voice and told him to get baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that was his confession. But then what, he wouldn't do it. You understand what I'm saying? God didn't accept him. He accepted God. Right? He accepted God and everything that he could do. But God didn't accept him. I'm not saying he's lost. That's between him and God. Now, come on. Get away from that. You can just get what we're talking about. See, the truth is essential under salvation. Well, I didn't hear it. I didn't know it. God winks at that. But now he said he commands all men to repent once truth is brought. See, then you can say, I've accepted him. I accepted him. I know I was there, Brother Dale. I was burdened. I went to all, and I believe he was calling me and all. And I accepted him as my Savior. And that's the way they'll tell you. You can't tell me I didn't do it either. Well, now, why are you trying to grow up about it? I mean, what are you trying to, who are you trying to convince? Right. But has God accepted your confession? Because see, you'll end, somewhere in your journey, you'll come to a halt if you ain't made the correct start. Right? Right. And like I told you about the couple of brothers here that had told me that they were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And said, because I was in a little series talking about it. And they said, do you think we ought to be baptized again? I said, let me ask you this question. I said, because I know the Bible. The Bible doesn't say Lord Jesus Christ. It says Jesus Christ. Right. Now listen. Put it together like the prophet did, and he took Paul, it says, Lord, right? Paul said to baptize in the name of the Lord. Peter said, Jesus Christ. Put it together, you got Lord Jesus Christ. Your prophet had it correct, but they were people baptizing in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ before Brother Branham ever started. There were a lot of people baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What if somebody come in and ask you? All right, brother. You think me being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ is okay? What are you going to say? Well, no, I don't think. Well, where's your scripture? What are you going to tell them? Where's your scripture? Scripture says Jesus Christ. What reason are you going to say you're not going to accept him? Dude, that's what I done with those two brothers. I said, let me ask you this question and we'll solve the whole problem. I said, is it not true that they baptize you under regeneration? Because you see, that's what the people were doing back there. They were baptizing the mode of baptism, everybody, mood, mode, whatever those words are. They had it correct. They had it Jesus Christ.
Right.
But they were doing it under regeneration. Come on. I said, then according to that, if I was you, I'd get somebody to baptize me again. If I was baptized under a point of regeneration or a church teaching regeneration, why do you think, church, listen, why do you think the church world was so against Brother Branham and his water baptism? Come on, you don't ever think? Why were they so much against him? When there was a lot of people baptized Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. Right. Come on, go study your history. Get some of these older ones that were back there in the Pentecostal move. There was a lot of churches teaching water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Jesus Christ. Before Brother Branham ever come on the scene. No, I don't think that's right. Well, then go to history and find out. See? Go study it a little bit and find out. But get what I'm saying. Why were they so much against him if they baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ, why were they so much against him in his baptism? Remember, the 300 ministers who come together were basically Pentecostal. Right. The Baptists and Methodists didn't go, right? They were Pentecostal preachers, 300 of them. And he said, you've challenged me on my baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, church. You don't just never think things over sensibly. Out of that 300, sure, there was a bunch of them. Said, well, hey, wait a minute. This guy's baptized the same. I baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. He baptized in the name of Jesus. Find me, Brother Branham, where it's saying. Brother Branham will repeat you more of baptism in Jesus Christ than he will Lord Jesus Christ. Challenge you. Find it out. Study the message and see if Brother Branham doesn't mention it so much over and over. He said they wouldn't baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. You know why I done when I come into the message? I heard him talk so much about it because, see, I happen to know a little bit about the scriptures at that time. Not much, but I understood a little bit. And I knew the scripture said Jesus Christ, not Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you know what I was interested in? Oh, Brother Dale, you know. Yeah, I was interested in one thing. I wanted to find out who baptized Brother Branham. And I wanted to find out how he was baptized. Do you know the story of it? Do you know the story of it? Dr. Davis, if I ain't mistaken, right? Baptized him. But he baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't just baptize him in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, it took me a long time because we didn't have no computers. But I found one day when he said, the man that baptized me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Through your journey. In other words, this group of people right over here, if they came over and said, we want to get baptized. But what we want to do, we want you to baptize us scripturally. Say, so I want you to baptize us in the name of Jesus Christ. Would you do it? No, I wouldn't do it because it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Or you got your scripture. They got the scripture, you ain't. That's the truth of it. They could be further up the journey of Christianity or salvation than what you and I are. And yet we're condemning them. Well, Well, Brother Dale, I think the Bible says that he's baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. I'll find it. Well, praise God. I like what Brother George Canada said. This man, he said something to him one day, and the man said, well, the Bible says so-and-so, and Brother George told him, says, well, I want you to go find it. Well, I liked at least what the man said, because Brother George said, he asked him later, said, did you ever find that? He said, no, but I found a lot of other good things. Well, at least we could find some good things. You know. But get what I'm saying. Here's a prophet. He didn't change the scriptures. Come on. He did not change the scripture that said Jesus Christ to Lord Jesus Christ and wants you to rewrite your Bible. He done what Jesus said. Jesus said to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Paul said baptize in the name of the Lord. Come on. Peter said baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said baptize in the name of Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And to do that, you baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when I baptize somebody, that's what I say. To fulfill the commission that the Lord Jesus said to baptize Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I baptize you, my brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had to write with the Lord. Peter had to write with Jesus Christ. Put them together, you got Lord Jesus Christ. See, now you ain't got nothing to argue about. But why did they argue with Brother Branham when a lot of them was baptized in that way? They knew what he was talking about. He was dealing with their water baptism under regeneration. And they didn't like that. He taught strictly against that. Right? He taught against baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as a regenerational form. You don't do that. That's not what the scripture is saying. When it says baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, it means exactly what it says. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Lord Jesus Christ. See, now you got your scripture correctly. See, I'm still in the journey. I haven't left the journey. I can follow the journey of Lord Jesus Christ all the way through the Bible. I haven't lost the journey. I haven't lost the revelation. Well, I don't understand because, you know, I mean, we went to church and all we done just went up and shook the preacher's hand and said, I accept Jesus Christ. Amen. That's great. But what about the rest of the journey? You just started your journey. You telling me I ain't saved because I don't do this, don't do that. I didn't save you, and I can't unsave you. But I like the way Brother Al said, and we're going to let him testify in just a second. I liked what he said. Why don't you go up to Lula and let Brother Dale talk you out of what you think you know? Something to that effect. You see, I believe it. But I don't just put it all on grace. You make it disgrace. I thought we believed that our works was a display of the inward work of Christ in our hearts at salvation. Is that right? Our works outwardly is to display what's within us. Huh? Has your journey stopped? Well, Brother Dale, you shouldn't bring out things like you do because it causes people to have problems. Problems. If the word causes us to have problems, we sure do need a lot of problems. Huh? But I'm always open. The office is open. I'll be in there when I get through. Come and let's sit down and talk about it. I'm trying to get you to think about your salvation. And to be able to put together in your form of salvation all the things Brother Branham covers. He said, surely you're saved as long as your confession is correct. Right? Do you need these quotes? But just remember the one thing. Our confession is great. But has God accepted our faith? The Bible said Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. What was imputed? Because he was a great guy. Had nothing to do with him. He believed God and it was imputed unto him. What? For believing God. He believed God and God accepted his believing. Now listen, church, he's got a better hope than any of us has got if you're going to lay on your works and your ideas and thoughts. Because he didn't put it on none of that. He knew who he was and what was going on. But God accepted Abraham's believing. Has he accepted our believing? When he accepted Abraham's believing, he gave him circumcision as a sign of his believing. Correct? What is circumcision a type of? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? Am I right now? Circumcision is a type of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have you received, Paul said, the Holy Ghost since you believed? Come on, you've heard Brother Brown saying the Bible says it means literally saying, since you previously believed, has something happened to you? Have you had a journey? Are you still in your journey? Are we still traveling in a journey? Because what Abraham started with was what Abraham ended with. Right? Come on, did Brother Branham explain Genesis 12 as justification, Genesis 16 as sanctification, Genesis 17 going into the name as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, going on into what we talk about as being adoption, a change of name and things? That's what Brother Branham explains it. Can we say we followed that journey? Or are we just basing it upon, well, I accepted him. I've done all I can do. Now, let me quote one to you on that basis. You remember a little fellow by the name of Cain? Now, here's the way Brother Branham said Cain said one day. He said, I've done all I'm going to do. I'm paraphrasing. It's very close. He said, I've done all I'm going to do. I'm not going to do anything else. That's pretty close. It's close enough to you know the point. All right? In other words, Cain said, I've offered my sacrifice. You wanted me to offer a sacrifice? I've offered my sacrifice. I've done this, I've done that. And I ain't going to do nothing else. Who was it? Was it Buddy Robinson? Now, if I'm quoting wrong, forgive me. But who was the one that said, he's out in the cornfield, and he said, now listen, Lord, said, I'm going to be right here, and I'm accepting you, and said, if you don't accept me or don't give me salvation, I'll be right here. You'll find a pile of bones. Well, that wasn't him demanding God to come to him. He had it right. Well, it looked like he was saying, God, you know, no, he had it right. He was putting it every bit upon God meeting him right there. If we'll put it all on God meeting us in the Word, we don't have to worry about it. Okay? So is a water baptism, is it essential? Why is Father, Son, Holy Ghost not correct? When it says Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You see why that your prophet was attacked by them? Not because of the wording he was using of Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. It was because he knew their background was under regeneration. In other words, if you say it like this, if you say, well, I tell you what, Brother Branham baptized me. Wonderful. I wish I'd had that opportunity. That don't save you. We went to Israel. I've been baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Went back to the same river down below, right below. Got baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Went to Israel. Out of 26 of us, there was 4 people got baptized. That was my wife and I and Brother Dean Gibby and his wife, Sister Peggy. The rest of them said, well, we've been baptized. Why don't you be baptized? I said, I don't care if I come back a dozen times. I still want to get it. If I went today, I'd go to the Jordan River and try to get me a good message believer to baptize me. If I couldn't, I'd grab me a good old Baptist and say, I'm sure going to listen to you now, and you make sure you say it right. You say you're crazy. I'm serious. It didn't annul my water baptism to get baptized. I loved it. Because it's speaking of what I am. Yeah. And the water baptism is not under regeneration. But it's a promise. Now that's what I was saying a while ago, and I'll end on this thought. There's no promise in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Because you ain't even in the Bible. Right? There's no promise in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You're not in the Bible. The promise is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're not willing to follow what the Word says, is God obligated to make our salvation to be worth anything? Right? So you can say all you want to me about, well, I accepted him, but I just say what the prophet said. Has he accepted you? Well, I don't know about that now, because that ain't none of my business. That's up to him what he's going to do. But I accepted him. And he can't deny it. You don't have to deny it. So like I said, Cain said, Lord, I've done all I'm going to do. You take it or leave it. And you know what? God left it. Right? He just left it. Well, Cain accepted God. You ain't never heard Brother Branham talk about those things? That if you're doing it on the basis of sincerity and that, Cain was just as sincere. Cain worked himself to death. Raising those beans and taters and corn and everything to bring all that up there. And Abel, lazy, shiftless bum, laid up over a hill over there taking care of some sheep. I don't mean that wrong. I just mean the truth. It looks like Cain had the greater offering. So much until the scripture said that, you know, how does it say it? A more excellent sacrifice. We had a brother here one time explaining in great length how that Cain's offering was excellent. I said, then you're testifying that works is first and salvation is second. I said, that's why I'm not agreeing with you. That's what I told him. I said, I'm not agreeing with you. Because Cain's offering proved what he was. Works as a form of salvation. Abel proved it was by faith or grace. And listen, the Bible says, and your prophet said, that it was revealed unto Abel. Right? Well, what do you think Cain said? Don't you think Cain walked up before God and said, now, God has revealed to me. Works. I'm working myself to death for you, Lord. What is it better than what I'm doing? Look what Abel's doing. He led up around the hill. And he murdered a calf. I mean, a lamb. And I wouldn't do nothing like that. I've lived a good life. Which one God accept? He accepted one of the two. Now you take it what you want to. So I'm back to that point. You say, I've accepted God. But has God accepted you? You know, he knows why we do everything. Come on, musicians. He knows why we do it, when we do it, our purpose for doing it. We're not hiding nothing. He knows the whole thing. But just remember this now that we get back this afternoon. We'll pick the thought up. You're saved by grace through faith. Have we started our Christian journey? It took me a long time to be able to read Pilgrim's Progress because I couldn't follow the thought. But it's simply the life. All right? Before we do that, Brother, where's Richard? Where'd he go? Somebody grab the microphone. We're going to let Brother Al testify on one of the microphones, Brother Joe. Then we'll sing. Let him just give the testimony.
A while back, I had a bad urinary tract infection. When I come out of the hospital, they said my PSA was up to 15. Doctors checked my prostate. It was enlarged. They did a biopsy on it. Been checking it ever since. It jumped back to nearly 14 again. Doctor says, I want you to have a MRI done. I went and had the MRI done. When the doctor called me, he was actually excited. And I was too dumb to catch why he was so excited right to start with. He kept telling me over and over and over how normal my MRI was. I just wanted to testify this morning that God has given me a miracle.
Amen.
There's no other way to put it because it had already been proved it was enlarged and they'd even done a biopsy on it. And he said, the doctor said this time that he had never seen an MRI that was any more normal than what I had.
Amen.
Amen. I've been up, Brother Sam, and prayed. Amen. We just need to put our confidence in our prayers. Praise God.
Amen. Amen. I believe it, don't you? Amen. Let's stand together. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Just come and believe and see.
Oh, I was shackled by a heavy burden, and I was need a load of guilt and shame.
Should throw everybody in desperation to believe. We have had so many things happen until we all be saying thank you.
I know he touched me and made me whole. Oh, since I've
Why we do everything we do. Even though we won't admit ourselves, we know why we do. He knows. Is it just a salvational point of believing something and saying, well, there it is? Or is it a journey? Have you been on a journey since you started your Christian journey and walk? Read Pilgrim's Progress sometimes when you get a chance and see about that journey and all it. It's a journey of a Christian. Traveling. Has he accepted you and me? Father, we just commit everything to you, believing you. We're just trying to just let you lead us as to what to say. We're just trying to make it as simple as we possibly can to think about you and what you've done for us. Lord, we've accepted you and we believe you've accepted us. And we believe that then if our lives will walk according to that we believe, then we're in a journey. Sure, we have troubles. We have problems. That's part of it. But that's no excuse. We're in a journey. And just help us to walk in you. Guide and bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Remember, the service this afternoon.
And made me whole.